Good morning.
Good morning. Good
to see you in the house of God. Brother Samuel, what I'd do, split that right down the middle, 50-50, give Bethany the card and you take the cash. 50-50, you know. And years ago there was a TV preacher whose church ran 5,000 or 6,000, and he told him, he said, "Now I read every card," and they hit a camera in his office, and he'd open them cards and get the cash out and just throw the card over his shoulder and didn't read them all. And he got in trouble for that. Well, man alive, women read the card, men get the cash. That's just life, you know. That's just the way it is. But anyhow, it's good to be here. Good to see everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Brother Don Tabor. My wife, Karen, is there. And we've known Brother Samuel. I've known Samuel, I guess, ever since he was born, probably. And known Sister Bethany's mom and daddy, maybe when she was a little bitty girl. And we preached the first service in this church here, right here, first service. I was here. And anyhow, we're glad to be here this morning. And just want God to bless you. It's Christmas season. And I love Christmas, don't you? I like it.
Amen.
We have a daughter. Our daughter's married to Brother Samuel's brother, Nathan. They've been here before. And then our son, Nathan Tabor, he goes with Brother Samuel on mission trips. And so this year I told him, I said, "This is what I want for Christmas. You could either get me a big present that cost about $100 a piece, or you can let me and Karen have our grandkids for one whole day and you get lost and not be anywhere near us and it won't cost you a dime." Well, Nathan Snow said, "We'll take it right now." He said, "We'd pay you to take ours." But, but my son's kids are little, you know, and he's tight. He's real tight with money. So I knew it wouldn't be a problem with him. So we've got our grandkids for a whole day coming up. And if you don't have grandkids, you'll understand that by and by. It's going to be great. John chapter 3 is where I'm going to be in Scripture. John chapter 3. So good to see different ones we haven't seen for a long time. I appreciate Brother Samuel and Sister Bethany. And Brother Samuel, Mikey Maxson still says that prison service you preached is the greatest service he's ever been in. He told me again. Said, "God, come down in that service." And Sister Bethany and her blessing her family. John chapter 3, I'm going to read quite a bit here. I hope to not make you tired. I'm going to read these 18 verses because they're about Nicodemus. John 3 and 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou bearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, real quick, before you sit down, I want you to notice a word in verse 17. It says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, that means through Jesus, might be saved. You hear us say a lot that you've got to be saved. Well, that's a Bible word. God sent his Son that men might be saved. And I hope to tell you what that means. What do you need saved from? Amen. And you may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for the standing for the reading of the word. You know, it's a problem when you preach in the day and hour we live in, because this generation really doesn't have, this younger generation especially, people that are unchurched, a lot of them don't even have the basic premise that this holy book is the word of God. You know that? And when you talk about being saved, they don't know what that means. I had people come in the church there and there that didn't know what we were doing when we knelt down, or when we folded our hands and bowed our head. They didn't know what that meant. They said, we've never seen that done before. So you have to kind of take folk from the ground up anymore when you preach. But anyhow, I want to preach to you with the Lord's help on a no-soul salvation. I don't want a maybe-soul salvation. I don't want to get to the end of my life, or the Lord coming, me stand before the judgment of God and not have it right. Do you? I want to have it right. The older I get, the more important I believe it is to have a no-soul salvation. Not a maybe-soul salvation. Not a think-soul salvation. But a no-soul salvation. Now, we live in a time when it's hard to find somebody that's not saved. We knocked on, in Denton, Texas years ago, our youth group knocked on about 4,000 doors. And we lots of people said they were Baptists. I always wondered how them Baptists convinced all them people they were Baptists. A lot of them said they were Baptists. One fella told us he was God. One fella told us his motorcycle was God. But nobody said, I'm just a low-down sinner and I need to be saved. Out of 4,000 doors, not one person owned up and said, I need to be saved. And I'll tell you what, everybody claims to be saved in the day and hour we live in. A few years ago, I was preaching revival in Conway, Arkansas. And Brother James Martin was there then. We was driving down the road there in Conway, and there was a car on the side of the road, broke down. Smoke pouring out from under the hood. And the man who owned the car, he was smoking a cigarette. He'd take a puff on a cigarette, and then he'd kick that smoking car. And then he'd take another puff on the cigarette and kick that car again. And when we pulled up, he'd quit smoking. The car was still smoking. And he was cussing the car. Oh, he was calling that car all kinds of names. And we said, you need a ride? And, oh, I sure do. So he started again. Brother Martin said, look, put your cigarette down. You can't ride here with your cigarette. So Brother Martin got in the back seat, and he got on the passenger side. And I was driving, and, man, we just running down the road. And that old boy was cussing that car like a sailor, calling that car all kinds of names. And Brother Martin said, excuse me. I'm Reverend James Martin. I pastor the church down the road here, and this is our evangelist. And that old boy, he'd been spitting cuss words out like a machine gun. And in one breath, he was going, cussing that car, you know, blah, 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 blah. And in one breath, he changed and went, praise the Lord. Let me get a drink. I'm not that stupid. I'll tell you something. If you're a preacher, I don't know how, but people can smell preachers. You go in the grocery, you know, you're in the gas station, and it's quick station. You walk up to the counter. Maybe it's these old gravelly voices we got, Brother Samuel. And they'll say, "Have a blessed day." They wasn't even religious before you got there. You know, I'm glad to have a blessed day, but I want to tell you something. Live a blessed life. You know, everybody claims to be saved. That's right. Everybody does. Years ago, I was at the racquetball court when I was young, and the boy and me was playing racquetball. And there's a boy sitting up on the wall watching, and he's telling us how many bottles of whiskey his mama had hid under her bed. And the boy playing them, he said, "This guy right here's a preacher. You better quit telling on your mama." That boy up on the wall said, "Now, don't get me wrong, preacher. She's a fine Christian woman." I'll tell you what, you got the group you got the bunch that claim to be saved, and then you have the churchy folks that have tried to create ways to be saved that aren't biblical. You know, some churches say if you join the church, if you become a member, that you're saved. Now let's think about that. If that were true, you know what I'd do? I'd go down to one of the paper companies and I'd say, "Make me a book big enough to write everybody in the whole world's name in it." Okay? And then I'd start a church called, I just call it World Church or something. And I'd say, to be a member of my church, all you got to do is be breathing. And then I'd write everybody in the whole world's name in my book, and we'd all go to heaven. If membership's all it was. Some churches think water baptism is all it is. Now, I believe in being baptized in water. Once you get saved, you ought to be. But if you can be a dry sinner and go down and be baptized in water and come up a wet sinner. And then there are other churches that base salvation on works. This man came to Jesus. And let me tell you this, religion is not enough. This was probably one of the most religious men in the scriptures. He was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees lived the law to the T, and he was a ruler of the Jews. I mean, this was a religious man, but he was empty inside, and he knew there was something else, and he came to Jesus by night, and you know, he beat around the bush. You know, we know thou art a teacher come from God, and in verse 3, Jesus cut to the chase. "I say unto thee, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's really what Nicodemus came to talk about. Amen. And he talked about a fleshly birth. When you were born, you know, on this earth, you were born of a fleshly birth. Amen. I don't want to get too graphic, but that was a water birth. But then there is a spiritual birth. And you got to be born again to get to heaven. Now, all this saved business started with Adam and Eve. That's where it started. Now, I'm going to tell you something just so everybody will know. There's only, according to the Bible, one race, the human race. That's it. And every one of us came from Adam and Eve. I believe the Bible. Every one of us came from Adam and Eve. And all the problems we have are because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. You know, I heard people say, "Well, if they just hadn't picked the apple off that tree and ate it." And old Walter Green told me, he said, the problem that we have has not got anything to do with the apple on the tree. He said, it was the pear on the ground. That's right, ain't it? If they just hadn't disobeyed God. Well, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the Bible said that a curse came upon all mankind. Look in the book of Genesis. I want to read this to you real quick. In Genesis chapter 3. You know, I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything, but I know this. Before Adam and Eve disobeyed God and partook of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, I don't think men died. I don't understand at all, but I believe they would have lived forever. But when they partook of that forbidden fruit, the Bible starts to talk about it. Unto woman, God said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed. There's that word, cursed. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, a curse didn't come just on them, but the curse fell upon all mankind. And friend, because you and you and you and I, every one of us, are descendants of Adam and Eve, the curse of sin fell upon us all. Amen. And you know, people say, well, my dad, he works hard. My dad used to say, son, I don't need to be born again. I don't need to be saved. I've worked hard. I've given your mother money to buy food. I bought clothes for you children. I've been real good. But he had never been saved. And I'll tell you what, I explained to him. I said, dad, it ain't got any, taking care of your family is a good thing. Working hard is a good thing. But I want to tell you something. This curse that the Bible talks about in the book of Genesis fell on every one of us. Amen. The Bible said because they sinned, the curse came upon all men. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die because Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit. Part of the curse was that we die. We don't live forever. And because of the curse, we'll go to hell if we die without Jesus Christ. The Bible said, even so, in Christ shall all be men be made alive. Now, to save men from the... God didn't intend for men to go to hell. That wasn't why God sent his son. Somebody said, he likes to send people to hell. He doesn't send anybody to hell. All he does is the word of God is there, and people that reject God's son go to hell. But God intended for everybody to be saved and everybody to live forever, amen, in heaven. But because this curse fell on man, God sent his son Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, listen to what the Bible said. Sometimes we think Jesus just showed up on Christmas and he was only here 33 years. But you've missed it by a few million years, if that's what you think. You know that? Listen to what Philippians chapter 2 says. Talking about Jesus. He was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ was, amen, before this world was ever created. He is eternal. He always was and he always will be. But because we had to have a savior, because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, God sent his son and Jesus took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He was equal with God, but he came to earth and was made in the likeness of a man. And they killed him on a cross to pay for our sins. Now, whoever believes in him, the Bible said, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I want to tell you, the Bible says, this is elementary this morning, there are two choices. Two choices. Heaven or hell. There are not three choices. Amen. Just heaven or hell. The Bible says, I believe it's one of the plainest in Scripture, in Matthew 13:49-50. At the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. And they shall cast them, the wicked, into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Karen, come up here for just a minute if Bethany will let you out. I want to tell you something. for you to get to heaven, you are going to have to make a decision for yourself to accept Jesus Christ. The Bible said there's coming a day when there's going to be a separation, and those that are saved, don't go far, I want to use you again. Those that are saved are going to go to heaven, separated. And those that are lost are going to hell. Now I'm going to tell you something else. Come back here. If you have a loved one that's saved, you can't hold on to their coattail and get to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
You say, well, I got a real religious wife. Yeah, that don't count for you. You can't hold on to your saved husband's coattail and get to heaven. You got to make a decision for yourself. You got to choose for yourself whether or not you're going to serve the Lord. You know that? Amen. I said there is coming a time when there's going to be a separation. And those that are saved are going to heaven, and those that are lost, the wicked, are going to be cast into hell. Amen. And young person, you can't hold on to somebody's coattail that's saved and get there. You're going to have to decide for yourself. And you know, let me say this. It's important that you believe the Bible and accept Jesus and be saved. There are none too young and none too old. I knew a little boy there at Allentown got saved, filled the Holy Ghost and called to preach at 5 years old. David Austin, the boy. And I knew a man that got saved at 78 years old, accepted Christ. It can be very young or it can be very old. But I'll tell you what, you got to make a choice to serve God if you get to heaven. I felt Jesus convict me of my sins when I was 15 years old. And I faced a choice. Do I accept the Lord? Or do I reject the Lord? Amen. My mother was saved. Some of my sisters were saved. But I had to make a choice for myself. Amen. And people who don't accept Jesus go to hell forever. You know that. But if you get saved, it's heaven forever. Brother Bill Houston was preaching for me. And, you know, we like to say we have this train of thought, you know, God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. We like to say that. But Brother Bill Houston was preaching for me, and I don't know if he's ever been here. He's getting old now. But Bill Houston was a straight shooter. And he said this at my church, and it really rattled me. He said, sinner, God hates you. He said it again. Sinner, God hates you. And then he said it harder. I said, sinner, God hates you. If on judgment day you stand before God, you know how much God hates sin? God hates sin so much that he let wicked men crucify his son that you might be saved from the penalty of sin. That's how much he hates sin. He let wicked men crucify his son. And on judgment day, there's only going to be one question. It's not going to be what church you go to. It's not going to be, is your wife saved? It's not going to be, is your husband saved? It's going to be, you're going to stand before God. After I sent my son to this earth and let wicked men kill him, have you personally accepted him as your savior? And do you live for him? And do you think after God let wicked men crucify his son, if you say no, you're going to get to heaven? No. There's only going to be one question. Have you accepted, the book will be open. Is their name there? Have you accepted my son, Jesus Christ, as your savior? Do you serve him? And I'll tell you what. Amen. We talk about how much God loves a sinner now. But when you stand before God on judgment day, if you have rejected his son, every bit of that love is going to turn to hate. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I sent my son that you might be saved, and let wicked men crucify him for you, and you have rejected him. Depart from me. That's what the question on Judgment Day will be. Amen. And I'll tell you what, friend. You have got to decide for yourself whether or not you're going to serve the Lord. When you get there, you can't say, well, when I die and God calls me to the judgment, on the trip from death to the judgment, I'll fix a few things. I'm going to preach to you a minute. I'll get rid of the cusser. I'll get rid of the smoker. I'll get rid of the bad thoughts. I'll get rid of the hatred. I'll get rid of the meanness I have toward my companion. On the trip. Sorry, friend. There won't be time. If you haven't got a no-soul salvation now, you won't have time to correct all of those things when you stand before God. That's why you got to get it right now. I want a no-soul salvation. Don't you?
Amen.
I understand. I'm not going to undo what I preached. But I know some of the best preacher men I ever knew. Tobacco's one of them. It's hard to get loose from. And I'll tell you this. It's also the drug that killed my father. He died of lung cancer from nicotine. And I'll tell you, if you're bound by that, you've got to get loose from it. Keep trying. You've got to throw it out again and get victory over it. God can help you. I've known men to battle things for a while, but you got to try. You got to get victory. You got to have a no-soul salvation. If you were to stand before God this morning, have you accepted His Son Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you serve Him? Are you one of these? Are you one of these people that's cussing and kicking the car until the preacher shows up? No soul salvation. You got to know. You got to know. The Bible said no sin will enter there. You know that? No sin will enter heaven. I'm about done. But I'm going to tell you what. We got to make sure that everything's right with the Lord. Somebody get us a song, please. Sister Bethany. I don't believe you can put your finger on my life. I don't believe you can put your finger on my life right now. There's no lustful looks in my heart. There's no pornography. There's no alcohol. There's no drugs. There's nothing. Nothing. And I'll tell you what, we've got to keep it that way to get to heaven. We've got to keep it that way. And you can with the help of the Lord. Somebody said it right this morning in Sunday school. You can with the help of the Lord. If you're here and you've never been born again, friend, Nicodemus, he had all kinds of religion. But he was not saved. My daddy was a hard man. My daddy was a rough man. One man told me, he said, Don, do you know your daddy wrote a book? I said, what book did my daddy write? He said, the one on cussing. He wrote it. But when he got saved, you know, he'd tell me all these things he'd done. I said, Dad, that ain't enough. Those are good things you provided. I'm glad you did. You kept us clothed. You bought us food. I'm glad you did. But you're going to have to accept God's Son as your Savior. You're going to have to get saved. And finally, he did. He got saved. And I'm glad he did. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never accepted God's Son as your Savior, you got something you need to take care of today. You got something you need to do before you leave this service. Not long ago, I preached last year, well, it was earlier this year, preached Winford King's camp meeting, Brother Samuel. And his nephew is up ladder working on the building. Been raised his whole life in church, but he was not saved. And you know, here about a month and a half ago, on a Sunday night, a message in tongues, an interpretation came forth. And this is what they said, the gist of was this. Death is imminent for someone here tonight if you don't get saved. And I don't know if anybody prayed or not, but that 18-year-old boy left there not saved. And on his way home that night, he got killed on his motorcycle. It tore Brother King and him up for him. We don't have no guarantee of tomorrow, do we? We got to make sure everything's right with the Lord. Bow your heads. Let me say a prayer. Please. Lord, in Jesus' name, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't have a no-so salvation, I pray you'd help them before this service is over to make their way down here and kneel and get things right with God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. I'm just a visiting preacher. I'm just in here for a service or two. Brother Samuel and Sister Bethany, they're always here. A friend, if you're here and you're not where you need to be with the Lord, I know Brother Samuel Snow and Sister Bethany will pray with you and help you. I know they will. If you're here and you're not where you need to be with the Lord, I give you an invitation to come right now, step out and come down to this altar. Is there anybody in this building, you're not a Christian, and you feel God dealing with your heart? I give you an invitation right now. Just step out, come down here. Brother Samuel will pray with you, Sister Bethany, whoever needs to. Is there anybody? Do you know? You can know. You can know everything is right with God. Come on, somebody. This brother's coming down here for prayer. Somebody else. I want to make sure I want to know so salvation. I want to know so salvation. Let's come. Everyone that would, find your place somewhere to pray. Would you do